good to be saved, amen. And some of you don't like that, I'll fly away. If you're saved, you'll be going one day. A little bit too hillbilly for you, and you'll just have to put up with it, amen. It's good to see all of you tonight. It's good to be here. We had a good time this afternoon, a great service, a good ordination. And I praise the Lord for Brother Mike and the fact that the Lord has called him into the ministry, given him a place to go. And I pray that the Lord will give him a real church and a real work there to do in Pennsylvania where he's going. A good charge, a real good message brought by Brother McDowell. After I heard that message, I felt like that Indians on the reservation way out west there had never seen nothing. And they were still so primitive, they sent signals by smoke. You know, these smoke signals they'd send up, and they'd send them back to some fellows over here and back and forth. And they didn't know it, but out there somewhere in the desert, they set off an atomic bomb. Boy, he seen that thing go up, and he said, I wish I'd have said that. And after I heard that message, that's what I felt. I wish I'd have said that. But I'm glad for Brother McDowell and the men that came. Appreciate the message. And I hope that the Lord will use him in a real way. Take your Bibles tonight and open to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I want to thank all of you that have come to the meeting and supported it. I want to thank Brother Martin and his wife and the people of the church for having me up for the meeting and giving me the opportunity to preach and be here with you. All of you for what you did. Brother Art's mother especially for letting me stay at her house. And nobody puts me up. They put up with me while I'm here. And I appreciate a very lovely host and a very gracious lady. And I appreciate it. And appreciate their love for the Lord Jesus Christ, their love for the Word of God. And it's good to see his family again. I've known his family for a long time. They've known me. And Artie there was in the wedding. He was about that high. Lit some candles or something. I don't know. That's so long ago. It's all kind of hazy exactly what did go on in those days. But I appreciate him coming, Lisa and Bruce and the others that have come out to the meeting. I love Brother Art, his wife, and his family. They mean a lot to me. Have been encouragement to me at a lot of times and meant a lot to me at a couple different times in school. And when somebody does something for you, you never forget it. And appreciate them and appreciate his steadfastness, the ability that he has to just get in there, put his nose to the grindstone and keep on trucking. Amen.
Amen.
And I appreciate it. Appreciate his love and appreciate the time that I've had together to be with you. And I thank you for having me up. Pray for our work in Pensacola. I haven't said much about it because you didn't call me up here to say anything about it. So for that reason, I haven't. But you be much in prayer and pray that the Lord will bless our school that we have there. What we're trying to do is turn out some preachers just like Brother Martin right here. We're trying to turn out some men who believe the book, know how to teach the book, know how to preach the book, and are not ashamed of this book that God has given them. And you pray that the Lord would give us the young men that would have us come. Now, Pensacola is not for everybody. Some of you just couldn't make it. I mean, some just couldn't take it. It's not for everybody. That's why Pensacola is not the only school in the world. Amen. That's why you got Tennessee and Cummins and all these other places that are around here. The Lord doesn't want everybody to come to Pensacola. If he did, we'd just shut down all the rest of them and have that. But you pray and pray that the Lord would give us the men and the women that he'd have us to have and raise up some real Christians that would stand for the Lord in these last days. Remember, pray for Dr. Ruckman and his ministry, the books, the tapes, the school, the church, and the things that we have. And I'm supposed to be his assistant. So you pray I'll be an assistant rather than a resistant while I'm there and pray that the Lord will use me in a real way. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we'll begin to read in verse 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness, for our comely parts have no need. But God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. Let's bow our heads as we begin the message and ask God to bless the preaching of His Word tonight. Now, Father, I thank You tonight for bringing us together once again. I thank You, Lord, for what we've been able to enjoy, the blessings that we've been able to have. I thank You, Lord, for many that have come to this meeting. As the lady said, she's been here every service. I appreciate those that have made that effort. I appreciate those that have invited people and tried to come. Some have traveled a long ways, Lord. I pray they'd not go home hungry or thirsty tonight. Lord, I pray that You'd feed them from the manna that comes from heaven. I pray that You'd break the Word of God life once again, Lord, that we might be fed by it again. Lord, we're Your children and we're needy people. We need to be fed by this book tonight. We need to be challenged. We need to be encouraged. We need to be stirred up to go out and fight the good fight of faith. We pray that You'd bless in this service once again. We pray, Lord, that if there's any person in this building that's never been saved, or they've never trusted Thee as their Savior, I pray that tonight that they'll trust Thee and believe on Thee, and before they leave this building, they'll come to know You, whom to know is life anew. Lord, we seek a blessing from Thee tonight. We pray that the Holy Spirit of God would be in this building in evidence, liberty, and freedom to move and speak to the hearts of those that are here tonight. And I pray that You'd have Your will and Your way in the heart of every person in this building tonight. God, bless the message. Bless the Word of God. Holy Spirit, meet with us in a real way and speak to hearts of people that are here. Lift up the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. And Lord, do something tonight that'll account for eternity. And I pray it in Jesus' name and for His sake alone. Amen. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we have a section or a portion of Scripture that deals with the body of Christ. And tonight I'd like to take this portion of Scripture and preach a message that I call ability. Ability. Now, as the Lord talked here about the body of Christ, He made mention the fact that the spiritual body, He likens it to the physical body that we have. The Lord, knowing how dumb we were, many times gave things that we couldn't understand. And throughout the Bible, when the Lord wants to explain something, He'll use the word like, or He'll use the word as, or He'll compare something we can't see to something we can see so that we can understand what He's talking about. Now, here the Lord talks about being saved and being baptized into the body of Christ. Here He talks about the fact that if you're saved, you're a member of the body of Christ and you have a job to do for Him. And He says, just as every part of your physical body has a function to perform, everybody that is saved and in the body of Christ, they have a job to do and they have a function to perform. Our physical body can only operate good when all the members and the parts of it operate together, and the body of Christ, made up of believers, can only function properly when every one of us do our job. The Bible talks about our body being wondrously made, and it is. When you think about our human body and the parts and how they work, it is wonderful how the Lord made us. And the Lord said sometimes we think that only the parts of the body are important, or the ones that we see are the most obvious or the most important. But He said some of those that He calls uncomely parts or feeble parts, those are important. And so it is true with our physical body as well as our spiritual body. Now, I don't know whether you ever looked at your physical body, but as the Bible said, it is wondrously made. Now, take your nose. I don't know whether you've spent much time thinking about your nose. Some of you have more to think about than others, if you have. But suppose your nose was built upside down. Every time it rains, you'd drown, and every time you sneeze, you'd blow your hat off. Amen? But you know what the Lord has done? He has wondrously made our body. I don't know whether you ever spent much time meditating on your toes or not, but get up about 3 o'clock in the morning, run briskly across your room in a dark hour, and hit it on the bedpost, and you will meditate on it. Amen? It may not be a comely part. It may not be an important part, but it is an essential part to your body. God says that's how we should think of the spiritual body of Christ. Sometimes we look at ourselves and we say, we're uncomely, we're unimportant, there's nothing for us to do, and I'm here tonight to tell you that if you're saved and in the body of Christ, you have a job to do, you have a function to perform, and no matter how little or how unimportant or how small you may think it is, the body of Christ working in this church can only work as good as every member in it works. Now, it's obvious that all of us don't have the same ability. I mean, that's obvious. All you got to do is open your eyes and look around. Not all of us can play the piano, amen? I mean, all of us knows there's some black and white things on there, and what they are, we don't know. You hit the wrong one, it sounds bad. That's all we know. Not everybody can play the piano. Not everybody can sing. And praise the Lord, not everybody tries to sing, amen? I mean, not everybody has the same ability or talent. Some of you here tonight, you have a talent and ability I don't have. Lord knows there's a lot of things I can't do. Some of you might know I'm left-handed. If you've been watching me, I preach left-handed. Amen. That's a joke. You can laugh, all right? Now, but there's a lot of things I can do. I got a job one time roofing, putting roofing on. And you know, there's nothing in this world laid out for right-handed people. Nothing. The only place I ever went and felt at home was over in England. I could shift gears with my left hand. But I've never seen anything in this world laid out for left-handed people. It's all for right-handed people. Go to a machine shop or anything like that. And this fella trying to show me how to put shingles on. He'd take that hammer in his right hand. Well, man, I got that hammer in my hand. I was like lightning. I never hit twice in the same spot. I had shingles upside down. I had them right side out. He got done. He come over. He said, whoa. He said, you better go down and start just carrying shingles. I said, well, maybe I can get that. Amen. Not long ago, we had some rabbits down at the house, and we was trying to take care of them, the kids, and they, man, they, you know, you get them, you got a bunch of them after a while, don't take long, and we had more than we wanted, and we had a little cage, needed a bigger cage. Well, we got a bigger cage, but it sat on the ground. I said, well, I'll set that thing up off the ground, put some legs on it, and that way it'll be easier to take care of. And the wife said, you better get somebody to come in and do it. I said, look at here. I said, look at me. Now, here I am. I said, I know what a hammer is, a nail, saw. I said, go out there, put legs on that rabbit cage, be nothing to it. Said, I have it done to jiffy. Boy, I went out there and got my little hammer and nails, went to work, rat-a-tat-tat, rat-a-tat-tat, you know, the best I could. Got them legs up there, and boy, I just set it back here where you could look right out the kitchen window to see it. And I came in there, and I said, look at that. Don't that look nice? New lumber and everything like that? I said, look at there. Call somebody to put legs on a rabbit cage. My foot, I said, look at that. I said, that's pretty as anything you ever seen. About that time the wind blowed real hard. Here went that rabbit cage, whomp, right on the ground. And she said, yeah, who you going to call now, amen? But you know, it's good to realize what you can do and what you can't do, amen? It's good to know your abilities, and it's good to know that there's some things in this life you can do, and there's some things that you can't do. God has called certain people and given them certain abilities that other people don't have, and people have certain talents that others don't have. But tonight, I want to talk about some abilities that every one of us can have. Tonight, I want to talk about some abilities that no matter how uneducated, no matter how backward or bashful or untalented you may be, these are some abilities you can have in your life. These are some abilities that you can put in service for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the first ability is what I call availability. Availability. This is no more than making yourself available so that God can use you. Availability in God's service is the first step of Christian service. Before God can ever use you and I, we must make ourselves available so that God can use us. The reason that many of God's children are not in active service for the Lord Jesus Christ is because they have never made theirself available so God can use them. And tonight, I don't care who you are, I don't care what your non-talents may be, or how much abilities you do lack, there is one ability that every one of you here tonight can have, that if you're saved and if you're born again and name the name of Christ as your Savior, you can come to God and say, God, here I am. Use me in any way you possibly can. The only Christian that is not used of God is a Christian that's not available for service. I have not yet found one time where a Christian would come to God and say, God, here am I. Use me, that God didn't find something for that Christian to do. Listen, this book is full of people who made themselves available and God used them.
They weren't superhuman beings. They weren't anything more than flesh as you and I. But the reason David was used, the reason Abraham was used, the reason Elijah was used, was because they took that first step of Christian service and said, Lord, whatever I've got, it's yours. Whatever I am, it's yours. Whatever I can do for you, I will do it. God, here am I. Use me.
We remember in the Old Testament when Hannah prayed and sought so much after a son. The Lord gave her a son called Samuel. And she said, Lord, if you give me a boy, I'll give him back to you that he'll do service in your house. And sure enough, when the boy grew and became of age, Hannah took Samuel and took him to the temple there in the place of worship that he could be given in service. And she gave his boy in service. And Eli was the priest that time in the temple. One night Samuel and Eli had went to bed. There came a voice that said, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel got up out of his bed, ran in there where the priest Eli was, and he said, Eli, here am I, for you called for me. And Eli said, I didn't call for you. Go back and lay down. He laid down again. The voice came again, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel got up, went in there to Eli, and he said, Eli, I know you heard called me this time because I heard you. He said, son, I didn't call you. Go lay down. And the Bible tells us the third time the voice of the Lord came to Samuel and said, Samuel, Samuel. The Bible said he went to Eli, and Eli knew that it was the Lord speaking to him. And he said, son, go lay down. This time when you hear that voice, say, speak, for thy servant heareth. And again, the voice of the Lord came, and he said, Samuel, Samuel. And he said, speak, for thy servant heareth. You know what he was saying? He was saying, Lord, here am I. I am your servant. Speak. Tell me what you want me to do. Tell me where you want me to go. Tell me what I can do for you. God, I am available for you. Use me in any way you possibly can. You know what God did? God used Samuel to be one of the greatest priests in the Old Testament. Why? Because he was available to be used of God. God came to a day when the nation of Israel had grown in apostasy. The Bible tells us from the common person right on up to the high priest, they were given to apostasy, that sin had came in the land. The Bible said their heart had grown fat, their ears were heavy, they had shut their eyes. And the Lord spoke up and he said, who will go and plead to the nation of Israel for me? Who will go and be a spokesman for me? And a man stood forth and he said, Lord, here am I, send me. You say, who was he? He was a man named Isaiah. And God used him as one of the greatest prophets in the Old Testament merely because he knew God wanted him and he said, God, here am I. Use me in any way. Listen, there's one ability that all of us can have here tonight. And it's time you quit making excuses. It's time you quit making alibis. And it's time you quit griping about what you can't do and say, God, here am I. Show me what I can do and enable me by thy grace to do it. Availability. If you will make yourself available, God will use you. When you look at it and think about it, we don't really need more Christians to carry on the work of God. We just need more Christians who are doing the work of God. If all the Christians in America that profess the name of Christ were living for Christ and witnessing for Christ and doing what God wanted them to do, we could be like those early apostles when they saw him come and said, here come the men who are turning the world upside down. What was it? It was a handful of men who made themselves available so that God could use them. One ability that all of us can have is availability. To make ourselves available that the Lord can use us. A few years ago, or more than a few years, I guess nearly 100 years ago, there was a man named Francis Asbury who worked as a blacksmith apprentice, trying to learn the blacksmith trade, trying to learn what it was, and of course a bigger trade in those days than it was now. And he worked with a man who was going to teach him how to be a blacksmith, and this man was a Christian. He was saved. And he asked Francis Asbury, who was a young boy, if he was saved, if he was a Christian. And Francis said, I suppose I am. He said, people call me parson, which is, you know, preacher in those days. And he said, I don't think I've ever done anything that's really bad. He said, I never miss church. The blacksmith said, that's good, young man. It's commendable. But he said, have you ever received Christ as your Savior? Have you ever been saved? And he said, no, I don't think I have. And the blacksmith told him a little bit more about him. And he invited him to his church. And he went on a Sunday morning. And after that Sunday morning service, he was so different from his church that he went back home just bubbling over to tell his mother. And he said, Mother, you should have seen that church. He said, the fellow prayed, and he didn't even have a prayer book.
Said, I couldn't believe it. Said, I looked up and he was praying and he wasn't even reading anything. He was just speaking it right out of his heart. And he said, Mother, the preacher got going. And he said, you know, when he started, there was actually people in the building that shouted, Amen. He said, why, if that happened at our church, our preacher's wig would have fell off. And he said, do you know, Mother, that they talked of Christ and being saved? He said, I've never heard it before. Wasn't long till Francis continued to go to that church. And as a young man, he received Jesus Christ as his Savior. He knew that God wanted him to do something, but he didn't know what. Wesley, one of the great preachers, came from having been in America, where we're now at, and pleaded for missionaries to come and witness to the Indians who knew not the Lord. And as John Wesley preached, just as I'm preaching right here, Francis Asbury set out in this audience, and Wesley got preaching, and he said, the Indians are there, and they're without Christ. The Indians are there and dying without God and without hope. And he said, they need a man who will carry the gospel. And what I want to know is, who will go? Who will go and be a witness to them? And Francis got so caught up in the message, right in the middle of the message, he stood to his feet. And he said, I'll go. I'll go. I'll go. And all of a sudden he looked around in embarrassment, realizing what he had done, and sat down. But after the message, he came forward and he said, I'm sorry that I interrupted your sermon. But he said, I'll still go. And he became one of the great missionaries to the American Indians here. He preached over 17,000 sermons in his lifetime and saw thousands of Indians come to Jesus Christ. Who was Francis Asbury? A young boy who was studying to be a blacksmith. A young boy who got saved. And you know what he said? I'll go. I'll do what I can, Lord. Here am I. I am available. Help me. Take me. And use me in any way that you want. Now, the next thing that is another ability that we can have is what I call excite ability. Excite ability. Now, some of you need to write this down because you may not know anything about this whatsoever. Amen? I know some people kind of talk about Brother McDowell, make fun about the veins popping out on his head and one thing and another. But I'll tell you one thing. He does it. Amen? He gets with it, amen? I tell you, the curse upon modern Christianity is a dead, lifeless, dried up Christianity in America today. You know what American people have lost? They have lost their shout. They have lost their victory, and they've lost the point in their life where they no longer enjoy coming to church, and they're not excited about the Lord. Now, you can get in church and somebody will preach and somebody will say, Amen. Now, somebody will look around at them. Well, look at that fanatic. You know, you'll get really going. Somebody will say, Praise the Lord. Boy, somebody come around, look around and say, What is that guy, man? Is he nuts or what? I've preached and said, some of them stand up and say, I was in Tennessee and I'll tell you, a woman over there, I got preaching and she got rejoicing in the Lord. A woman about 50 years old and she just stood up and went, And I'll tell you, that's all she did, and sat right back down, amen? Charged my battery, amen? I knew somebody else was liking it besides me. You said, Brother Jim, that thing there, you people shouldn't act like that. Listen, there isn't a one of you in this building that isn't emotional sometime or another. Now, they call us fanatics, right? They call us nuts, right? But here in a few months, just a few weeks, we're going to see who the real nuts really are. We're going to see people go to a football stadium, pay money, sit there, and it below zero, freeze to death, and a man run across a white line, and 60,000 people in unison go, Woo! Yeah! Go get them, Browns! Yeah, amen. I don't think the Bengals are going to do it, so it'll be the Browns this year. Yeah, they're going to get out there. Yeah, they're not fanatics. Those are normal human beings. You come into church and somebody says, Oh, man, amen. And they say, oh, I've never seen such fanaticism in all my life. I've never seen such bunch of radicals in all of my life. What do you mean? You mean you're one thing outside of church and you're something else when you come in here? I'll tell you what the Bible says that is. That's a hypocrite. Shame shame on an American public that'll sit in front of an idiot box and get 24-inch eyeballs and watch John leave Mary and Mary leave John, watch the world as it burns and the misguided light, and sit there and watch those things. I mean, come to church and can't even shed one tear over a lost soul. I mean, sit there and watch some comedian. Oh! A preacher tell a joke and say, well, that's sacrilegious. You big hypocrite, amen. Stuffed shirt, amen. People say, Brother Jim, aren't you afraid of fanaticism? Aren't you afraid people will get too carried away? Who are you kidding? Have you been in churches today? You know, the Bible says many are called and few are chosen. I'll tell you the places I've been. Many are cold and some are frozen. Amen. You couldn't move them. You couldn't budge them. I can't even make them mad. And believe me, I can make somebody mad if I want to. I mean, you can't get them excited. You couldn't get them searched. They say, Brother Jim, you just get people going wild. I doubt it. I've heard preachers say all my life, you get so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. Sure. But who have you ever seen like that? That's a nice little ditty, but who have you ever seen that's like that? I've seen a lot of people that were so earthly minded, they wasn't no heavenly good. Now that, I can jive, I can tune in on that. But people so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good? Well, I've never seen many people like that in my life. Well, aren't you afraid it'll get carried away? Aren't you afraid they'll get into flesh? Listen to me, bud. You're stuck in it till the Lord comes back again. Channel your emotions and use them for the Lord Jesus Christ. Why is it you can get excited about other things, but you can't get excited about God? Why is it? Why is it in America today, people can just throw up their hands, rejoice, shout, holler, stomp, I mean, get so wild they tear down posts, they tear the astroturf and the stuff right off of there, mob people on the ball field. That's not fanaticism. But if you come to church and people, you know, amen, well, boy, don't go out there, those holy rollers. Listen, Christian people have been so long without it getting excited about God that if you say amen or praise the Lord, they think you're a holy roller. And bless God, let me tell you, some of you need to get your shout back. Amen. I found that as a preacher, I don't worry too much about people getting too excited. My problem is getting anybody excited. I found that it's a lot easier to restrain a wild man than it is to raise a dead man. Amen? And I tell you, I've been going around trying to raise some people from the dead. I've been trying to get them to wake up and shape up. They don't seem to want to do it. You know what something you need to do? You need to get in contact with the Lord and His Spirit. And you need to come to church with an open mind and a open heart. And say, Lord, I want something from you. Amen. Now, wouldn't it be wonderful if we could all get as excited about the Lord's work as we do about other things? You know, they had an old colored boy one time that came to a church, and have you ever been there? They don't not very quiet. They'll amen and well you to death. I'm preaching one or two of them, and they say, well, down south, that's what they say. It's, you know, that's an expression in the Bible for yes, well, W-E-L-L, well, well. Boy, I got preaching one night, and I said, my name's Jim McGee. They said, well, I mean, they had like an amen corner. One of these had done got dignified. You know, the preacher done been away to college and got himself an education. He didn't come back, and he preached, and he couldn't say much. So this fella, he just couldn't help it. He's just emotional. I mean, every service is just amen, praise the Lord. Deacons come out to him. They talk to him. Said, now listen, brother, said, you got to calm down. Said, you get so emotional in the service, people are watching you, and said, that it just disturbs. And they come out and said, this is your last warning. Said, if you don't cool it in church, I'm going to have to ask you to leave. He said, I'm so sorry. He stopped his own mule and he said, you know, I just get thinking about what God's done for me. I saved this old black man's soul from a devil's hell. I done saved my wife and all my children. I done give us clothes that we can wear and food that we can eat. I done said he done cleansed all of my sins and taken them away. I done provided for every one of the needs that I've got in this life. And I said, when they get to the end of this life, and I'm going to go and be in heaven. He said, whoo, whoo. He said, hold this mule because I'm going to have one right here. Some of you need to let go of the reins every now and then. Be excited for the Lord Jesus Christ.
channel your emotions and use them for God. Not only excitability, but durability. Durability. The Bible tells us that we're to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that you and I are in a warfare and we're in a battle. And you know, I'd like to tell all of you that once you got saved, all of your problems would stop. But if I did, I'd be the biggest liar in 3 or 4 counties around here. Amen? If I told you that once you got saved, all your problems would stop, I'd not be telling you the truth. You see, the only difference is being saved and being lost is when you're lost, you have problems and you got to bear them yourself. But when you get saved, you got somebody who will bear all the burdens that you have. See? When you get saved, you don't have to bear all those problems that you got. But you got a great high priest that you can go to. You got a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You got one that loves you more than anybody else. And when your father and your mother forsake you, the Lord will take you in. Amen. I mean, you got somebody. That's the difference in a lost person. If you're here lost tonight and without the Lord, you die, you're going to face death without Him, and you're going to go to hell. But if you're saved, Jesus will be waiting there to take you by the hand, lead you across the River Jordan into that promised land. Amen. I mean, that's the difference. But listen, when you get saved, you enter the battlefield and a spiritual battlefield in this life. And you know what we need? We need some Christians with durability. Some Christians who can endure hardness. Some Christians who will last in spite of hard wear. Some Christians who are stable. Some Christians who will stick with it. And some Christians who will hang in there when the going gets rough. One of the heartbreaks for me as a preacher is to see Christians who quit on the Lord. You say it hurt you? Hurts me. Makes me sad. When I think of a preacher or hear some preacher that quit or somebody done something, people always run their mouth about it. I don't want to run my mouth about it. It hurts me. Makes me feel sad. When I hear of Christians who were once going to church and living for the Lord, quit. You know what it does? Hurts. Hurts. And you know what? I don't care how untalented you may be. I'll tell you one ability that you can have, and that's durability. You can be one who endures hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You can be one that when hard times come, you keep going. When good times are here, you keep going. When the road gets rough, you keep going. And let me tell you, the Christian life is no bed of roses by far. And there's going to be times in your Christian life that if it wasn't for the grace of God, you'd throw in the towel and quit. But I've noticed one thing in watching fish. Only the dead ones float and come to the top. But it takes a live fish to keep on swimming and fight the stream or the current where they're at. And let me tell you, you will have to fight to keep on living for the Lord. Christians today are too thin skin. I mean, they get upset over the easiest little thing. You know, the politicians in America put a lot of Christians to shame. If we had to suffer what some of those politicians suffer and had people talk about us the way they do, some of us would quit a long time ago. I mean, how'd you like your name being in the headlines where 50 or 60 or 70 or 100,000 people could read it? How'd you like somebody calling you a liar or cheat? How'd you like somebody bringing out your past and all the evils and the wicked you did, throwing all the mud they could, not just to you, but so hundreds of thousands of people could read them? And you know what they do? Just go right on. Knock it off the shoulder, don't pay any attention to it. And some little Christians get their feelings hurt so easy. Brother Martin didn't shake my hand. You do, amen? I mean, did you shake his? Maybe that's why he didn't even notice me being there. Is that why you came? So he could notice you and say, huh? A lot of Christians are like that. That's a shame. Listen, when I come to church, I don't care if anybody sees me or not. I come here to get plugged in, amen? I come here to get something from God. I say, give it to me, give it to me, give it to me. I don't want people to pat me on the back and praise me. I've stood and preached to 3 people, to 4 people, to 5 people. I preached to 10 people. I preached to 8 people. I preached to that. Doesn't matter to me. Listen, some of you got to learn to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I've heard of people quitting the church because they didn't have the piano on the side that they thought it ought to be on. How about that? Real spiritual giants, weren't they? I mean, I think they ought to have some more pretty things at that church. And if they don't get a proper flower arrangement for the vestibule, I'm going to quit. I mean, he hurt my feelings. I want to tell you something. You come around me long enough and stick your feelings out where they can be hit, and I will hit them. Amen? I mean, you want somebody to pick on them, just get one thing you want and stick it out there, and sooner or later, the preacher will hit it. Listen, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I acted as a child, thought as a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things. You know what he says? Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to tell you, none of us alive today have to go through any persecution compared what the early Christians went through. Well, we don't even know what persecution is. We don't even know what hard times are. We don't even know what it is to have it rough and really have to work. Why, you don't know what it is to have to worry about your next meal. You don't know what it is to have to worry about whether you're going to have a place to sleep tonight or not. You don't know. You don't have to worry about whether somebody's going to come in and take your children away from you or take your husband out and burn him at the stake. You know what we need? Durability. To endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. May God help us to realize that if we stand by God's book, that the God of this book will stand by us. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Would to God that we had the endurance that some of the great martyrs have had. John Huss, who was a Bohemian martyr, and by the way, was burned at the stake because he believed the scriptures were infallible. He lived in a day where if you believed this book was infallible, then you were burned at the stake. And he openly and publicly said he believed that this book was the final authority in all practices and faith. And there was a certain church around at that time that didn't believe that. They believed that the church had authority over this book and that the church told you what to do rather than this book. Listen. There's no church on the face of this earth that has authority over this book right here. There is no church on the face of this earth that has authority equal to this book right here. Let me tell you, I'm not a Baptist first. I'm a Bible believer first. I'm a Bible believer before I'm anything else. And because he believed that and because he openly taught and preached that, they took him and were going to burn him at the stake. And as they took him to the stake, they asked him to recant, to give up, and said, if you'll deny this belief, if you'll deny the infallibility and the superiority of the scriptures, we'll let you live. And you know what? He looked him right in the eye, and he said, I came not hither to deny my Savior and Lord. He said, what I have taught with my lips, I now seal with my blood. Light the flame. You know what he had? Durability. You wasn't going to make that fella quit. The only way to shut him up was the way they did. Get rid of him. Listen, you and I need some of that durability. Brother McDowell talked today about John Bunyan, the great man who wrote the book Pilgrim's Progress. When I was over in England, I stood at the place where he spent 12 years in jail. You know, talk about going to holy ground. I felt like that was holy ground myself. I stood with that great man. Listen, he stayed in jail for 12 years. Why? Because he refused to stop preaching the gospel. He was sick. He had a daughter that was sick and a wife that needed him. And they came to the cell every day for 12 years and visited him. Brother McDowell told us today what he said. If you let me out today, I'll preach tomorrow. And finally, during the end of his 12 years, they came to him near the time to get out and said, if you will tell us you'll never preach again, we'll let you out. He looked at him and he said, I'll stay in here till moss grows on my eyebrows, but I'll never cease to teach and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. You know what he had? Durability. He endured hardness. God give me some of that stuff. And God give every person that names the name of Christ that durability. And last, maybe most important of all, dependability. Dependability. This is the ability to be counted on. Do you know that there's no aspect of life that can go or can function without dependability? If you run a job or have a business, you know what you have to have? You have to have people that you can depend on, and they'll be there every day. You can't operate a business without people you can depend on. You couldn't operate a government without some men you could depend on. Listen, you couldn't have a family or a home unless you could depend on the people that are there. If you couldn't count on your wife or trust your wife, what kind of home do you think you'd have? You wives couldn't count on your husband to make a way and provide for you. And if you couldn't depend on him to a certain extent, what kind of a home do you think you'd have? Bob Jones Sr., one of the greatest men to ever live and walk across the face of this earth, said, "The greatest ability is dependability." Now you think about that. Oh, I tell you, when I thought about that, I tell you, reached down the bottom of my heart and gripped it and squeezed it. You and I may never have ability like some other people. We may never play a musical instrument, may never sing a song. We may never be able to preach like some other men can preach, nor to teach like somebody else could teach. But I'll tell you, ability that every man, woman, and child can have in this building, and that's dependability. You know what I want to be? I want to be somebody God can count on. I want to be somebody that when God wants somebody to witness to somebody, He'll put him across my path and pat me on the back and say, "Jim, there he is, giving the word." I want to be somebody that when God wants a gospel tract put someplace, He'll say, "Jim, put it out, and I'll put it out." I want to be somebody that when God lays a message on my heart, I'll stand up there and not respect the face of any man and preach the message that God has given me. I'll tell you what, I know my limitations, I know my ability, I know I'll never be the preacher that a lot of men that are on this earth are. But I'll tell you what I want to do, I want to do what I can, and I want to know that God can count on me to deliver the message He's given me to deliver. And you know what that is? Dependability. Can God count on you? If everybody in this church was as faithful as you, what kind of a church would you have? If everybody in this church prayed as much as you do, what kind of a church would you have? If everybody read their Bible just as much as you read yours, what kind of church would you have? If everybody gave as much money to this work to support it as you do, what kind of church would you have? If everybody come on visitation as faithful as you, what kind of church would you have? You say, "Brother Jim, that's not the question." That is the question. Because, beloved, this church is not the walls and the carpet and the pews and the doors. This church is you. It'll rise no higher than the people that are in it rise. The greatest ability is dependability. Job was a man God could count on. There came a day when the devil, the angel, the sons of God came before the Lord. And the Lord said, "Hast thou considered my servant Job? There's none like him, upright, feareth God, one that escheweth evil. There's none like him in the earth." The devil said, "That's right, but you build a hedge about him." He said, "Take the hedge down, let me touch him, and he'll curse you to your face." And the Lord permitted the devil to take all the material possessions that Job had. The Lord permitted the devil to take all of his 10 children. The Lord permitted the devil to touch him from the top of his head to the sole of his feet with boils and sores, to sit down on a pot of ashes, no material possessions, all 10 of his children dead, his wealth gone, his health gone, and then his wife comes by and says, "Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die." He said, "Woman, you speak like a fool. You speak like one of the foolish women. Have we not received good at the hand of the Lord, and shall we not receive evil?" He said, "The Lord hath given, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And the Bible said, in all this, Job did not sin, neither did he charge God foolishly. You say, who was Job? He was just somebody God could depend on. Years ago in America, we had a preacher who started the Nazarene movement, a man named Bud Robinson. And although his doctrine was off, I guess a second work of grace or complete sanctification would be the major thing. In the early years of his ministry, he was one of the greatest preachers that ever lived as far as seeing people get saved. Bud Robinson was born or raised in the hills of Kentucky. He said they talk about people having floors. He said our floor was dirt. He said they talk about people sleeping in the hollow of a log. And he said, I'll have you know I slept in the hollow of a log. He said, our home was a literal hell on this earth. He said, my dad was a bootlegger, moonshiner, whatever you'd like to call. Made his money and his living that way. And he said they were gambling, shooting, stealing, bootlegging. He said his brothers and his sisters all lived ungodly lives. He didn't go into detail, but he said you can imagine what went on in our lives. But he said in that home there was one ray of light. It was a mother who knew Jesus Christ. And he said, my mother kept begging me to go to church. And he said, finally one night I went to a meeting. And he said, it was a Methodist evangelist preaching. In those days, brother, the old-time Methodist knew what it was to preach the Word of God. And he said, that fellow preached. And he said, I got nervous. And he said, I wanted to get out of there so quick. And he said, I came that night. He said, I had a bottle of whiskey in one pocket, a deck of cards in another, a pistol in another, and chewing tobacco in the other. And he said, I got ready to leave and made up my mind at the invitation. I was going to get out of there. Wasn't no preacher going to tell me what to do. He said, about that time, he said, tonight, if you know anybody here lost, he said, I want you to go to them, kneel beside them, and pray for them. Now, you couldn't do that today. People have heart attacks right in the church if you did it. You would have to know CPR and everything else. I mean, you just have to, you couldn't do it. They couldn't even take it. And he said, all right. Somebody comes to me, I'm going to knock them down. I'm going to knock them out of the way. I'm getting out of here. Here comes this sweet woman, about 80 years old, little old frail woman with white hair. She came up there by Bud, and she just knelt down and began to pray. Have you ever heard an old-time Methodist pray? She said, oh, God. Said, you know, Bud is lost, and he's ungodly, and he's headed for a devil's hell. And said, God, you know, if you don't do something, Bud's going to die and he's going to go to hell and burn forever. God, do something. And that old woman began to pray. And he said, I got more nervous and afraid than I'd ever been in any fight in my life. He said, I ran out to the aisle and turned the wrong way. He said, I thought I was going out the building. And he said, I was running forward. And he said, the quicker I ran, the more the Spirit of God came. And when I got the older preacher said, you want to kneel? He said, nothing kneel. He said, I want to lay. And he said, I fell on my face before God and asked God to save me. And he said, that night, God miraculously saved me. He said, it wasn't long after that until God called me to preach. And he said, I got up to preach for the first time. Bud Robinson had a speech impediment. He couldn't talk clear, kind of a lisp. He said, when I got done preaching the first time, one of the deacons called me aside and said, now, Bud, we love you, but when they start that line, look out, because you're going to get it. He said, but we want you to know we don't think you're called to preach. He said, you're so dumb and talk so poor that you'll do more harm for the cause of Christ than good. And said, do us a favor, don't ever preach again. Boy, you talk about hurting. He said, it hurt like nothing ever hurt in my life before. And he said, I left that night and went home, went out on a hill under the light of that moon. He said, I'd never had nothing all my life. And he said, when I got saved, he said, I got more than I ever had. And he said, I laid out there that night and he said, God, you know, I didn't want to preach. He said, God, I didn't even know nothing about getting saved or nothing about being born again. He said, God, let alone preaching. He said, I don't want to preach. He said, I'm like that fellow. I'm dumb. I'm ignorant. He said, I'm uneducated. But he said, God, all I want to know is, do you want me to preach? He said, I stayed out there all night as the sun come up over the horizon. Said, the Son of Righteousness spoke to my heart and said, Bud, I want you to preach. And he said, I may have been ignorant. I may have been dumb. But he said, I took my little pony, my Bible, my book of hymns and praises to the Lord. And he said, they wouldn't let me preach in the church, so I went out and preached in the fields wherever I could. And he said, I may have never been called, but he said, the first year in holding those meetings, 300 people came to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Who was he? A low country boy. A boy with no education, no formal training, a speech impediment, You could hardly understand him until you'd listened to him for a while. But he took that book, knew God wanted him to do something, and he did it in spite of what everybody thought about it. God could count on him. He came and said, Lord, I'm available. He endured the hardness that he needed to endure, and he became a dependable servant for the Lord. These are some abilities that all of us can have. Let's bow our heads for prayer. I've said little in regards to the lost people and their need of salvation, but I'd like to say, if you're here tonight and lost without the Lord Jesus Christ, you need him tonight. And you need to come and say, Lord, forgive me of my sins and save me. Let me tell you, your religion, whatever it is, cannot save you. Only Jesus can save you. And it's time you quit trusting your religion and trust the person who loves you and died for you, and that's Jesus. He loved you, he died for you, he was buried and rose again. He's alive tonight. He waits to save your soul if you'll let him. And if you are saved, I know what some of you feel at times. You feel so uncomely. You feel so feeble. You feel so unimportant and so little. Listen, I know what the feeling is. I know what it is to be saved and be called to preach and don't feel like you could preach a lick. I know what it is to look at other men around you, have so much talent and ability, and you have absolutely nothing. But I'm going to tell you something. As a boy 16 years old, I fell on my knees one night and I said, Lord, I don't know what there is that I could ever do, but I said, God, take me and use me in any way you possibly can. I made myself available. And I'll tell you, I haven't done what some other man would do, and I wouldn't kid you or myself in trying to think that I have. And I'll tell you what, God has used me. Not because I'm good, not because I'm better than anybody else. Because I came and said, Lord, here am I. Send me. Oh, I haven't had as many people saved as a lot of other preachers, but I've had a few along the way. God wants you, Christian. God wants to use you. No matter what your excuses may be, if you'll come tonight and say, God, use me. God, take my life and use it. God will use it. That's what some of you need to do. You need to come to this altar. You need to pray and say, Lord, I don't know what I can do. I don't know what ability I have, but God, if it's no more than opening the door and greeting people, if it's no more than being faithful and coming every service and smiling and shaking people's hand, if it's no more than being a Christian who loves thee and does what I can, Lord, I want you to use me. I'm available. Some of you tonight need to come and pray and say, Lord, help me to be excited about the right things. Help me to be stirred about the right things. Some of you can get excited over everything but the Lord. Some of you can get excited over everything except God's work. Some of you, it's a rough road. You got some problems. You need that durability. Some of you tonight need to come and pray and say, Lord, give me the ability to be dependable and somebody you can count on. Father, tonight we thank you. This opportunity that we've had. We thank you for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The example that he left behind. We thank you for the Word of God, the encouragement, Lord, and the ability. And Lord, just as we've read from Corinthians here tonight, every part of our physical body has a job to do. And every person here tonight that's saved and part of the body of Christ has a job to do. May they seek to find out what that is and what you'd have them to do. And Lord, may they do it tonight. May they come and make themselves available that you can use them. May they come and pray and ask to be stirred anew and afresh over your things. May they come and ask you to help them to endure hardness. And God, may many of them come tonight and pray and say, Lord, I don't know whatever I can do, but I want to be somebody you can count on. I want to be somebody that's dependable. Bless the message. And Lord, if there's one lost here tonight, help them to come to you and trust you as their Savior. Help them to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Help them to trust him, believe on him, and receive him tonight. Have your way in the heart of every person here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.